Hey, welcome back to the Twin Ports Real Estate Show. Jim Rohn and Gary Gallagher here from RE/MAX. All right, down here in Florida, you want to reach me. My number is 218-348-7653. If you want to email me, just easy. It's jimrohn@gmail.com. Mr. Gallagher, give out your information, please.
In the Twin Ports, I'm at 218-390-0615. I'm licensed in both Minnesota and Wisconsin.
All right, perfect. So, next subject. Any interesting stories going on?
We don't have anything to talk about the Cozy Bar. That good. Really hasn't been in the news recently, and so that's a good thing. But the old Central High School, or the Central High School up on the hill, as you can refer right. to it, certainly is in the news and is certainly going to be ongoing in the news. And I actually believe it's one of the larger stories that we're going to be dealing with in 2023 and possibly 2024. But this past week, the city officials had to, or the planning commission had to sign off on what they called a scoping environmental assessment worksheet that will lead to what they call alternative urban area review, which is a new buzzword. We deal with what we call environmental assessment worksheets, or EAWs. There's an environmental impact statement, which is an EIS, but they have this hybrid model now that they're calling, like I said, an alternative urban area review, that they want to use now to deal with, the environmental impacts up on that site. And so they signed off on this using this as the environmental assessment. I think one of the benefits of that type of a hybrid model is that they can assess the environmental impacts quickly and adequately. And so, here we're talking about a very significant development that's going on up there. If you haven't been following this story, we're talking about the potential of almost 1,600 units of housing.
Right.
1,600 units of housing, Jim. This is massive.
It is.
And 124,000 square feet of commercial space, potentially including a hotel, a restaurant, a preschool, or other businesses that are serving what they're calling is an emerging neighborhood up there. Now, if you've been up in that area recently, a couple things. You've got that True Blue, that hotel that's up there, and this is on Blackman and Central Entrance. But also, Jim, as you get on, if you go up Central Entrance and you get on that South Blackman and you're heading up towards the mall, off to your left, there's a massive apartment complex that's going on up there. And so there's some major league housing developments going on in this city right now that, if you haven't been up there, you're not aware of it. And if you got time, drive up there and see this new apartment complex that's going on, and it would kind of be, behind the Taco John's that's up there on Central
right,
Entrance,
yep.
All up in that area. And so what they're proposing now for the central site, and this developer sounds like he's very, he wants to get the shovels in the ground and get this thing going and be ready to roll as we get into next spring. But one of the other things I think that they're proposing for this property is, could become home to what they're calling a modest business park, and they're talking about including 360,000 square feet of light industrial warehouse distribution space.
Wow, yeah, that's huge.
Well, a warehouse distribution space. Think about this. I mean, this is truck bays. This isn't the small, if you can envision a warehouse distribution facility.
Yeah.
And then you put that together with what they're planning, the housing, commercial space. And then the other thing you got to remember is the school board's new building, their district, their offices, that's already in place. That's already up there. The planning commissioner people said that he felt that, and this is planning commissioner Brian Hammond, he described that potential industrial warehouse distribution space as a colossal waste of prime site.
Huh?
That's his quote. And so whether or not the planning commissioners, ultimately the city council, they sign off on this type of stuff. I think that remains to be seen, but the fact that they want to use this new tool to do the environmental assessments on it, I think is interesting, but where this all goes, I mean, we'll continue to follow the story, but this central site gym is going to develop, and what this develops into and how it begins to evolve here, I think will remain to be seen. But again, I think it's an exciting time, you know. And one of the things that, you know, I went to that central school, and the biggest thing that I think you always take for granted, you know, especially as a kid, you don't realize the impact of the lake. And you've got this particular area, which is the top of the city, and you've got this absolutely fabulous, you know, vista up there. How they develop this thing and what this ultimately looks like, I think I'm just so curious about what it all looks like, you know. But I'm also curious about what else they're going to associate this with. And when you look at it and you say, hey, we're going to do housing up here, it's going to be maybe some single family homes, some apartments, we've got some commercial space, we've got the school administration offices up there, and oh, by the way, we're going to do a warehouse distribution space. What does that make sense?
Yeah, that's a little wild. I'm still trying to ingest that.
And where is it going to be? I mean, on this site, right? I mean, if you go up to this site, I mean, the school administrative offices are off the back part of the site, which is closer to South Blackman Avenue. Where would a distribution center be? I mean, if you're familiar with that site, and we had the baseball field, which would be the western part of this lot. Or you've got the old Votech building, which was in the front part of the lot. I just don't see them, the planning commissioner, city council, wanting to approve a distribution center that's on the front portion of this lot. That, to me, wouldn't make a lot of sense. But maybe in the back, off to the side, it might be where there could be there's a back entrance up there, you know?
Yeah, well, what I was going to ask was, how many entrances are there going to be up to that area? So,
well, you've got the front entrance off Central Entrance, yep. But there's also a back entrance off South Blackman. And if they're going to develop that and make that into, a more accessible access point, I think that there's some merit to that, you know. But how this all shakes out and where this goes, boy, oh, boy, we're going to follow this story and continue to be, you know, we're big advocates of it, obviously, and how this develops. But what's going on in that immediate area, Jim, I think is like really fascinating. And all the housing that they're building up here and, you know, that we've introduced, we've got a lot of apartments now, but we need some single family homes, and we need some good, well-priced single family homes where, you know, you don't have this vacuum where we've got high priced single family homes, but we have nothing to where a significant percentage of the market wants, which is in that mid-value range, say, you know, 275 to 400 in there. If we can get some new single-family homes in that price point, I think you can sell them all day long.
Well, you know, and I would love to see the plan of how this is all going to fit from an overview. You know, this warehouse district area is going to have its own entrance. I mean, I can imagine all of this, right? It's not going to interfere or intertwine with the housing up there. I think they're going to have their own way in, their own way out, and it's going to make sense once it's you know, available to look at and visualize. But yeah, that is a real impactful situation that's going on, and I think it's necessary. Down here, Gary, we have a lot of that warehouse kind of space. You know, like we have a Walmart distribution center probably 20 miles from here, and I gotta tell you, man, they're all over the country, obviously, but it's huge. I mean, it is huge. I don't know how many trucks are in that parking lot at all time, but I mean, they take up a lot of space. You know, this is probably like a 40 acre piece of land where this building is located, and man, I mean, it's got to be 160,000 square feet or something. I mean, just to take a wild stab. So it's interesting.
Well, listen, 360,000 square feet is a really good sized building.
Yeah,
I mean,
it is.
That's not a small structure. And so that that's going to have a big impact on and as to where, to me, the placement of this thing. Where is it going to be in relation to the lot? And then you're going to mix it with housing, and you're going to mix it with commercial and all that type of stuff. So, what's it all going to look like, you know?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. You know what? It's been a dormant large piece of real estate in Duluth for too long. So, you know, it's good. It's necessary. The apartments and the other housing that's coming into the area are certainly easing the stress of, you know, employers trying to get employees, you know, from other parts of the country, and they're having a hard time finding housing. So, I mean, this is all good news, for the real estate community and for the business community of the Twin Ports itself. All right, Mr. Calgary, we got to take a break here. You're tuned into the Twin Ports Real Estate Show. We're going to be right back to wrap it up. So hang in there. Hey, welcome back to the Twin Ports Real Estate Show. Jim Rodney, Gary Callagher here from RE/MAX. I, of course, am down in Punta Gorda, Florida. And if you need any housing information down this area, give me a call, 218-348-7653. And Mr. Callagher, please give us your phone number.
Up in the Twin Ports, I'm at 218-390-0615.
All right, so we were talking about some of the housing stats down here in Florida, and I know that you had more comments. We came up against a break, so let's talk some more.
Yeah, one of the interesting stats that you mentioned was the inventory, the amount of listings that are active, and it sounds like it's over doubled down in your market.
111% up,
yep. And so that's incredible.
Yeah,
I mean, especially as you head into your busy season. You know, the fact that you're over doubling the amount of houses that are available for people to view is that to me is very significant, and how that trends into, you know, other markets, you know, throughout the country, I think it remains to be seen. And, you know, I look at some of our stats, and I'll just deal with some local sold statistics, and I go back to 2022 for the same, you know, year over year. And Jim, at that point, we'd sold 1,780 properties, and that's for 2022. This year's so far to date, 1,400,
right?
A little over 1,400. So that's a drop of 300 units in our marketplace, you know, year over year, and that's fairly significant, you know, when you think about it. Our listing inventory is certainly up. You know, Jim, we currently have 200 active listings on the market. We just haven't seen that number in quite a while. And so it's good to see the inventories increasing. It's going to have more options for buyers moving forward. And I think we all agree that we couldn't sustain, nor was it good for our marketplace, the frenzy that we came out of. And this historic era that we've come out of, Jim, is unlike anything that we had ever been involved with. And I think it could be unlike anything we ever get involved with again. And, you know, go back to COVID, and you go back to 2019, 2020, and then moving forward in the frenzy, just unprecedented what we dealt with in the real estate economy. So a more normal market is not a bad thing.
Yeah, it's called balance, right?
It's good for all of us. It's good. And when I mean all of us, I mean, you know, your buyers. The sellers may not like it as much, but it's certainly a much better situation overall for everybody. And, you know, where this goes and how it evolves remains to be seen.
Well, and I will tell you this. So the stats that I was pulling out were month compared to month. So when I said 276 closed sales, that is this month. Well, I should say the month of October versus 191 of October of 2022. Year-to-date closed sales, we have 3,043, which is down by 12%. And then I think I mentioned that the median sale price was 350 versus 375, which is down about 7%. So those are the stats that are probably the most important, and they show that the market has changed. I mean, 7% loss, to be honest with you, I thought maybe that when these stats came out that it might be closer to 8. But, you know, so I think that actually it's a None of these numbers are to be feared. You know, I think that it's just coming into balance. There is activity out there. It feels very comfortable that we have a lot of listings. And Gary, I'll tell you what, when you're working with buyers, one of the things is it's very frustrating, and it's been this way for many years, very frustrating when there's nothing to look at. You know, all the inventory is gobbled up so fast that there's nothing to look at. And this year, if people are searching down here in a $350,000 range, we are going to be able to show them plenty of houses. And they're going to be able to take their time, pick through them, and pick the one that fits their needs best. I just call it a much more comfortable market. Even though the rates are higher, it's very calm. You know, when you're looking at houses, there's no super urgency, and I think that it's a comfortable situation for buyers in that sense. Anyway, what are your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I think again, you go back to certain situations with buyers that we've been dealing with over the last, 2.5 years, where people being distraught about not being able to accomplish something, people crying about not being able to accomplish something, the marketplace as a whole being in a stressful situation to where, you want to buy a house, but you can't, And, I think that at the end of the day, the only stress-free, happy campers were sellers. What sellers have experienced over the last couple of years in terms of the windfalls, the prices that they're getting for their houses just was, again, unprecedented. But for buyers, the stressful environment that they've been involved with here is just like unlike anything we've ever seen. And so giving them more options and more opportunities to be able to get the home, to buy a home, to experience home ownership, it's not a bad thing. I mean, and the more people that we can get into the marketplace and be able to accomplish home ownership, I think it's a good thing.
Well, there we go. Gary, remember our little lawsuit where the National Association of Realtors lost in Missouri $1.8 billion. They're saying that there are going to be repercussions of that are going to go on for a long time, and that the face of the realtors that are working is going to change. And they sum that up this way. They say a typical realtor is a 60-year-old white woman who attended college and owns a home. And we are already starting to see some people leave the market saying, this is done, I'm going to retire, not coming back. So they're saying that there's going to be a major shift. A lot of baby boomers who are in real estate are going to be getting out, retiring, and the look of the realtor that's going to be left is going to change. And they say that this market that we're coming into, where it's not going to be, they also said that the average income of that 60-year-old white woman, average, quote unquote, gross income of $56,400. They say that because of the lawsuit, that they predict that commissions might fall 30% in the United States. I don't know if I agree with it, but it's just very interesting to read about what's going on as a result of a little lawsuit that turned into a big lawsuit in the state of Missouri. So have you been reading about this yourself?
Oh, sure. I think everybody's been following this story. And I think that this is something that I know we've certainly discussed over the years, Jim, on some of the impacts that, the real estate community deals with. And the real estate community being real estate agents, buyers, sellers, and the associated, businesses that, make it all up. And the one thing that we all deal with over the years is change.
Right.
And the change that occurs within our industry is like, it's significant. And we've had some monumental shifts and changes that have occurred, since you and I've been in the business. And I think one of the things that you just, alluded to there is that it's funny, and people don't think about this a lot, but I think the number is like 70 some percent of the people that make up realtors across the country is women.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it's a significant number of
it's dominated. Yep, it's dominated by women.
It's not a small number. And so, but I think when it comes to real estate and change and everything, I think we're on the cusp of another change. And I think this is something that could be a monumental shift in the marketplace that could affect the way real estate commissions are paid, the way buyers may have to start anteing up, and the likelihood that the National Association of Realtors, Jim, may become a foregone conclusion. It may just go away. I don't know. And I think that we could be coming into a whole new era of how listings get distributed, how the whole real estate economy works. I mean, we could be in for a monumental shift. And I think, you know, as we move forward, it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out. And I think that, you know, another couple of things you mentioned. Yes, I think we've got a changing of the guard with, you know, some of the agents as they begin to age and baby boomers begin to, you know, die off is, what, you know, basically what's going on. And you've got a new wave, a new era of real estate agents where these agents that have been coming into the business over the last several years, 10 years even, they're tech savvy, man.
Right.
I mean, this younger generation, they're tech savvy. And the people that are coming up and buying houses, the millennials, the Gen X, the Gen Y, you know, they're all tech savvy. And so you're going to have a new generation of realtors, Jim, that are going to just kind of, you know, get sucked in the vacuum and replace everything that's on the outward move. But I will say this, I think that this is something that I embrace, I'm glad to see. I think that whatever this shakes out to be and turns out to be, I don't know, but I'm looking forward to it. I don't know how you feel about that, but it's something that I'm excited about.
Well, you know, here's an interesting thing. Yesterday, I met a young couple. I think they were 22, 23. I've got their business cards. They are fresh new realtors in the business, right? And it was exciting to talk to them because they were so excited, so green, so ready to go. Yeah, I think you're right. I think the changing of the guard has already been started. And I don't know about you, but it's a little tough for me to keep up with everything that is changing, right? Especially the marketing on social media, because I don't particularly like social media. I'm on Facebook. That's probably about it. I don't really do a lot of Twitter or anything else. And, that's where I see myself as lost traction. If I would have kept up with that, there would have been another way to market myself. And I just really never thought it was going to be as huge as it is, you know. And so, yeah, the learning curve, I don't know about you, Gary. Again, the learning curve for me is a little bit higher. Basic sales skills are still the same. You're still going to have that. But, you know, wow, it's... There's a lot of new things out there, a lot of new tools out there that you have to have in your arsenal in order to be the new listing agent of 2023. So, yeah, we got to keep up.
Well, it's an ever-changing field, an ever-changing industry, and how it all shakes out and how we move forward. I don't think you're ever going to be able to, like, replace a well-experienced informative type of an agent. I think that they're always going to be in demand. And when you try to keep people safe and you try to take care of people to make sure that they're making a safe investment, that they're not getting themselves involved in any type of a money pit, and that they have at least an awareness of what it is they're purchasing, I think that those are invaluable resources that people can tap into, you know. And we as agents that have those experiences, I think that, again, I don't think you're going to be able to replace that type of stuff, but I do think that technology is here. It's part of us. And I think this AI movement, the artificial intelligence, is something that over the next, you know, 2 to 3 years, I think you're going to see a massive shift in how that affects the marketplace. And so, like I said, I'm excited about it. I'm embracing it. I'm looking forward to it. And I think that whatever it looks like down the road, I'm excited to see that.
Well, and you and I are going to go way back here for a minute, but you and I remember when, as owners of the business, one of the annual questions was, "How big of a Yellow Pages ad do we get this year?"
Yeah.
Now it'd be like so off the radar. Like, no, there is no. We don't care about the phone book at all. That used to be the source. You know, people used to open the phone book, go, "Okay, here are the real estate companies. Who am I going to pick?" Now there are so many different ways to do their own research to come up with you know, who's their real estate agent and who's their real estate company, that it's so different, and it is exciting. I love the technology part of it, to the point where how much time it can save us. I love that the networking of all of the listings. So folks, once you list your house with us, we put it in the multiple listing service, and it's automatically picked up within 15, 20 minutes of just virtually every real estate website out there. And I mean, it's like a universal boom, it's up. And that is so mind-boggling still, right? Of how that all works. And so we all share that. So then you have to be at the forefront of getting them to notice you in the beginning. Like, you and I, we would get phone calls, you know, "Come and list my house." And I'm not saying it still doesn't happen, but it was commonplace. You know, today, not so much. I mean, maybe you get a text message. Maybe somebody reaches out to you on social media. I've seen some of your blogging or whatever. And it's just all changed. And I agree with you. I'm very interested in how this market has changed and how the marketing of real estate has changed. And overall, it has helped my business, and I'm pretty sure that you are going to agree with that statement, correct?
Well, I think, I think as we all try to adapt socially to the new paradigm that we deal with, as older, you know, over the hill type people, you know, I consider myself, it's something that you either, you either embrace it, or you just say, "I'm not going to deal with it. I don't care." Yeah. But I think it's there, it's here, and it's exciting. I like it. I like, some of the technology that goes on with real estate. So I'm looking forward to it, yeah. And I think it's just the way it's going to be. And you can either deal with it or just, you know.
Or retire. Was the point of that article.
I forget. Or get out of the way.
Get out of the way. All right, speaking of getting out of the way, Gary, we've got to take a break here. Folks, you're tuned into the Twin Ports Real Estate Show. Hang in there. We're going to have another segment right after this. Hey, welcome back to the Twin Ports Real Estate Show. Jim Rodney and Gary Callagher from RE/MAX. And Mr. Callagher, why don't you give out your phone number so people can get a hold of you?
The Twin Ports, I'm at 218-390-0615. I'm licensed in both Minnesota and Wisconsin, in Cloquet, in Esco, Two Harbors, in Carlton, and all those areas.
There you go. And I'm down here in Punta Gorda, Florida, which is just about 40 miles from Fort Myers. And my number is 218-348-7653. Gary, have you ever heard of going bare?
Well, I guess I've heard the term.
It's not skinny dipping. This is a real estate term. And what it means, Gary, and it's a huge rising trend, is to drop insurance coverage and going bare. And in Florida, we have the highest insurance rates in the country. My insurance just renewed. I thought it was going to be about $6,000, and it ended up to be $4,000, so I was thankful. But there are many others that have policies because their houses are worth so much money. But man, homeowners insurance eclipses car insurance down here easily. And there are 20% of the state of Florida who have gone bare, and they are self-insuring. And there's about 12% of the United States, which I actually found that was quite high too. 12% of the entire United States has gone bare without any insurance. And Gary, if you go back to 2016, the entire country was only 5%. So this is a huge change, huge trend. Insurance disasters have been numerous. We've all watched them on the news in all parts of the country. You know, I lived through Hurricane Ian, sitting right on my couch. So, I mean, it's a massive storm. I've never been through anything like that, in the Northland, and we've been through a lot of really, really bad storms up there. But anyway, going bare, and the one of the obvious things is that if you're going bare and you're not going to have the insurance, you do not have a mortgage. So people who do
That was
not,
my question. I was curious as to,
because if you
because
drop
we
it,
know that mortgages re require you to have homeowners insurance.
well, and you know that if you didn't pay your homeowner's insurance, and you just let it go, and your mortgage company, once they find out about it, and they will because they get all the same notices that you do, then they will put their own insurance on it, which only covers their interests. And funny, that insurance will be about three times more than what you're paying now, typically. You know, so you don't want to do that, folks. You don't want to try to go bare if you have a mortgage because it will be much worse. And the other thing is when you go bare, you're also you have to rebuild yourself. And I've met several people here, and they are not paying their insurance, they're going bare, they don't owe any money on their house. And I said, well, what happens if your house is destroyed, or you know, if you have, you know, $120,000 in damage, if we have another hurricane? And the ones that I talked to said, man, I'm gonna cross that bridge when I get there. And when I pushed them, I mean, can you do it? Can you do it? Well, no, I can't. You know, I wouldn't be able to rebuild from that. So I found that kind of idiotic. But anyway, what are your thoughts on going bare?
Well, listen, nobody likes insurance. Nobody likes to
I
pay it,
love
and we're
insurance.
inundated with all different types of
I love
insurance. We
insurance,
have
Gary.
home insurance. What's that?
I love insurance.
Well,
I
but
happily
the
pay my
cost of it
insurance
and things that
bills.
are going on, I mean,
Yes.
and nobody likes to do it. But the fact of the matter still remains is if you need it, it's worth it. And
Yep.
so, yeah, the premiums have gotten really out of hand. And, I look at car insurance and having young kids on policies and what it's done to our car insurance. And it's staggering. But
Yeah.
if you need it, there's nothing like it. It's the same thing with health insurance, Jim. Who in their right mind would go bare without health insurance? To me, that's just like a ticking time bomb because one
Right.
incident at an emergency room is like, can equate to like, thousands and thousands of dollars. I mean, it
Hundreds of
just isn't
thousands.
worth it.
Yeah. Well, and
And
there's a lot of people
so,
that simply can't
I
afford
know
that.
people are frustrated, and I know that people do it, and I know that they play the percentage games, but as they say, it's risky business.
It is risky business. And the other thing that I thought about is that, you know, that comes along with your property protection is liability protection. And that's also pretty huge. I mean, if somebody gets hurt on your property, I mean, are you going to be liable? Are they going to sue you? I mean, are you going to get sued by their insurance company who has to pay the bill? There's all kinds of things. And that brings up another thought, Gary. Folks, and this is pertaining to your own home. If you hire a contractor, you want to make sure that they are bonded, licensed, and insured. And if they're not, then you could be liable if they get hurt while they're up there fixing your roof. So it's something that a lot of people don't ask about, but it's really, really important. So,
Well, I think that, and this is a good point, Jim, because I also think that in the event there's like a shady developer or contractor or whatever out there, I believe that there are some resources on a state level, and this might go state to state, that allow to recapture maybe some losses as long as these contractors were licensed, bonded, and insured, as opposed to just, people doing side jobs, fly by night type of stuff, all that kind of
Exactly. Because even if
things
they're
that can go on.
right, yes. So it's a very interesting subject, and it amazes me. Those percentages are out of this world, in my opinion. But yeah, that's what's happened when insurance rates quadruple. So, well, we got
Jim,
about, go ahead.
we have some interesting statistics I just would like to share, and let me know how we're doing on time and
Oh,
everything. But
we got about 2 minutes only. So go.
okay, quickly, the most expensive property I've ever seen, a residential property, is currently active on the Twin Ports. in the Twin Ports, and it's not even built.
Wow.
These are townhomes that have been proposed down on Water Street off 21st Avenue East, and there's one currently on the market, Jim, for $3.2 million.
Right.
And Crazy. Then there's several other ones within the same development that are one, and they're all 1.6. Some are 1.62, 1.625, 1.63. But man, these are premium type properties.
Yeah.
We currently have an active listing up in like the Northland Estates area, right next to Ridgeview, or not Ridgeview, but
right.
Northland Country Club.
Yeah, right over
on
it,
the
yeah.
market for 1.6 million. And the most expensive property sold in Duluth this year, Jim, is $1.4 million. That was at 4610 London Road. And so we are seeing some million-dollar activity in the Twin Ports. And we've been seeing it for the last, you know, 2 to 3 years. And to see these million-dollar properties, Jim, it's pretty wild.
That's amazing.
Where it all, and I don't think it's going to end for a while. I think these medical facilities that are ramping up, you know, I think they're bringing in talent, and I think some of the other major employers here are bringing, you know, people in, and they're buying expensive houses, and I think, you know, it's good to see it.
Hey, welcome back to the last segment of the Twin Ports Real Estate Show. Boy, we are sure glad to be back on the airwaves. Gary and I love sports. And we don't mind a little bit of break now and then from the Twin Ports Real Estate Show, but it's been a long time. So, hope everybody out there in the, Twin Ports is doing well. And, I was up there, like I said, Gary, over Thanksgiving. It was 6 degrees at one point when I was there, and that was cold to me. So anyway, all right, Gary, I know that you have something you want to talk about, so I'm just going to turn it over to you, and, we'll lead out to the end.
Jim, one of the things that happens in the process as you sell your house and it goes pending and you start working towards the closing is sometimes people want to change the closing date.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, there is a process that we deal with. And once everybody gets rolling on that thing and somebody calls and says, hey, we want to change this date. And if you want to be a little bit radical about it and maybe shave a couple of weeks off the closing date, you can get into a mode to where I call the frenzy mode.
Yes.
And, you know, a lot of things have to happen and all of a sudden the timelines get condensed. And I actually had that experience this past week in one of these situations to where, you know, we were scheduled to close mid-December and the buyers now want to close. By the time you hear this show, it will have been closed. But and so we just had to do a lot, you know, go into our frenzy mode. And one of the things that, you know, when we talk about technology, is, and one of the things when we started real estate was a big thing with technology is faxing.
Yeah.
Where we would be faxing documents.
Yep.
Well, Jim, we got into a situation with this deal where about 72 hours prior to the closing, we started to get the, you know, the seller's payoff information, and we had to contact the seller's lender, and the lender said, well, we've got two ways that we can get it to you. We can fax it to you or we can mail it to you. Mailing wasn't going to work because
right.
we were closing in 72 hours. So they begin to fax. Well, the fax didn't come through.
Oh, no.
They tried it again. They tried it several times. Nothing. So we gave them another fax number. Didn't work. Couldn't get through. Anyways, we went through this dog and pony show for a while. We gave them another fax number. Still wouldn't work. So they said, all right, well, we'll fax it to our branch down in Apple Valley, Minnesota.
Okay.
Apple Valley never got it. And so we go into Thursday of this week and the closing scheduled for Friday of this week. And it's like, we don't have this payoff. And it's a very big part of the closing.
Right.
And so in any event, I had to run up to the store. I went to, you know, one of our local hardware stores. My phone rings and it's this lady from this bank. And I'm like, oh my God, I've got to deal with this now. I'm in this store. I got a shopping cart. Jim, for the first time in my life, I had four people on my phone call. I was able to merge four separate calls
right.
into the call in the store aisle.
Oh, wow.
Getting this dealt with. We just had to deal with it. And I'm on the phone in this store, you know, people walking by me with four people getting this dealt with. And we got it dealt with. It all worked out. We got the payoff. It went down to the last second, but it all worked out. But just funny how the faxing was such a big part of our lives back when we got into real estate. Now it's very difficult technology to get put to use.
Well, my last comment on that is why I ran into the same things, with payoffs, and they want a fax number, they want to fax it. It's like, come on, catch up with technology. I mean, these things can be emailed, to the closer.
They
Whatever. I
won't
mean,
email them though because there's too big of a
right.
chance to scrub stuff off the internet, and that was their comment. It's like we don't email these things. We
Yeah.
won't
So
do it.
now a fax is considered more secure. That's very
Yeah.
interesting. All right, Gary, listen, we're out of time. I could go off on this one for a while, but we're out of time. Before we go, give out your phone number, please.
The Twin Forks, I'm at 218-390-0615.
And down here in Punta Gorda, Florida, Fort Myers area, I can be reached at 218-348-7653. Everybody enjoy December, and Mr. Gallagher, we will talk soon. And thank you for listening to the Twin Ports Real Estate Show. We'll be back in the upcoming weeks for sure. Talk to you then. Thanks again.